The Sacramento Kings are on a 5-game win streak. They've won 8 out of their last 10 games. We know at some point things are going to slow down. The win streak is going to end. But the success and the way the Kings are playing seems sustainable. Here to talk about that and how this Kings team can carry this success out over the course of an 82-game season, the legendary G-Man, Kings radio broadcaster Gary Gerald joins me right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer for ABC 10. And it's always a pleasure to have Gary Gerald on. Look, when we've seen the Kings maybe not have 5-game win streaks very often, but we've seen the Kings have patches of success in the past over the last 16 seasons that they've not made the playoffs. It's not like it's been doom and gloom and they've lost every single game, every single season. But when we've seen the Kings play with success, we always kind of had the feeling that it couldn't last, that they were playing really, really well for that period of time, but at some point it was going to catch up to them a little bit or they'd fall back into their old ways. Well, this Kings team feels a little bit different. It feels like the way the Kings are winning right now, the different contributions they're getting, the great contributions from the bench, some games De'Aaron is fantastic, some games DeMontis Sabonis is fantastic. It's not taking everyone being great all the time for the Kings to win 5 games in a row. So it seems like this team is capable of doing this consistently over the course of an 82-game season. That doesn't mean winning every game from here on out, although that would be fantastic. The win streak should never end. But I'm talking about being able to, when they do lose a game or two, getting back to this solid run of form, maybe at times even improving on the way that they've been playing over these last 5 games. It doesn't seem that far out of the realm of possibility for this Kings team, which is exciting. But instead of just me talking about that in great deal by myself, I figured having Gary Gerald, who watches every game with a broadcaster's eye, an analyst's eye, paying close attention to everything going on, calling all the action, I figured he was the perfect guy to have here on Locked On Kings this week. So I hope you will enjoy my conversation with Sacramento Kings radio voice, Gary Gerald. It's been a great week here on Locked On Kings. A lot of it has to do with the Sacramento Kings continuing their 5-game win streak. And it's an even better week now that the G-Man, Gary Gerald, joins me on the Locked On Kings podcast. G, I know you love what you do. I know that you've called games for a long time and it's a passion of yours, but how much fun are you having right now with this team, the way they're playing, the light, the beam, the winning at home? How much fun are you having?
It's amazing what has transpired over the last, week and a half, 2 weeks after the 0-4 start. And so many fans, in typical reaction, I fully understand, throwing up their arms, oh my God, here we go again. It's the same thing we've seen for the last umpteen years. And yet there were solid indications, and Mike Brown and his staff kept saying, we are close, we are doing things well. And suddenly you tip it, and now everybody's caught up in this frenzy. And it's marvelous, and I love it. It's what I think we've all been waiting for such a long period of time, to see the fan base re-energized. And, you know, social media is just going bonkers, and the Kings have bought into the beam team thing, and you got the Band-Aid going for Malik Monk, and just so many different things that have just made this an absolute joy. And you just say, oh my God, how long will it last? Can we sustain? Are we really this good?
Well, the sustain is a great word, because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, is like, how sustainable is this? And I look at this Kings team and I see the different ways that they're winning. And I think to myself, I can see them replicating this, maybe not scoring 153 points like they did against the Brooklyn Nets, but offensively sharing the ball, De'Aaron Fox not having to score 30 plus a night, DeMontis Sabonis some nights having a 20-point, 20-rebound night, and then nights like last night, 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 1 assist, and the Kings still find a way to win. Different guys stepping up at different times, the bench playing really well. These are things that you could see actually repeat over the course of an 82-game season, maybe unlike win streaks in the past where just everything was falling and the Kings were just red hot, which they are right now. But it seems like this year, unlike past years, what's going right is not a flash in the pan. It's something that can continue and maybe even get better at times.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And we all knew going into training camp that this was probably the deepest roster that we had seen in quite some time. But it takes a while with a new coaching regime, as we all know. We've been down that road so many different times for people to start feeling comfortable. I love what Mike Brown does in terms of accountability for all of his players. And he does it publicly. And it's just like, you know, this is what we expect from you. So go do it. And guys have bought in. The chemistry is good. And of course, that all begins to accelerate when you have success. So we're seeing this team enjoy and have success. And you touched on, I mean, look what this bench is doing in this 5-game winning streak. They're averaging almost 50 points a night. You talk about depth and you talk about different guys doing it each and every night. That's a great indication right there. But it's more than just what the bench is doing. I was looking at numbers today in the 5-game winning streak. This team is shooting 55% from the floor. That's insane.
Crazy.
They're shooting 42% from three-point range. They're shooting 83% from the free throw line. Are these the Sacramento Kings shooting free throws at an 83% clip in this winning streak? Just so many good things. And now you're on the threshold of possibly a 6-game streak. The last time they did it was November of 2004. That's 18 years ago. So a lot of good things are happening. There's genuine cause for excitement. And Lord knows, from a broadcasting standpoint, you got to love the fact that your team is competitive and they're ringing the bell and the energy in the arena is just off the charts.
And what's funny, G, you're rattling off these offensive numbers, and Mike Brown told us last night that he didn't think last night was a particularly good offensive performance, and I actually agree with him, with the exception of the first 8 minutes of the first quarter and then the entire fourth quarter. Like the second and third quarter, Sacramento struggled a little bit. I thought San Antonio did a really good job of really attacking Domantas Sabonis. The fact that Sabonis' one assist came in the fourth quarter, like they really affected the Kings' offense by going after him and making him uncomfortable, which worked for a while. But it's crazy we can say the Kings had not their best offensive performance in a game where they still put up 130 points and shoot in the 50s from the field as they've been averaging.
Yeah, it really is kind of crazy when you look at that, but I totally agree. Second and third quarters, there was a case of the ball sticking at different times. It looked like they were a team kind of going through the motions. And when you let a team hang around, regardless of their record or how they San Antonio had been struggling, after a 5-2 start, they'd lost 7 of 8. But you see the score tied at 80, at 82, and you're thinking, you can't let this team, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And you could end up with a simple mistake costing you a possible win. And these are the kind of games that the Sacramento Kings have to win if you want to be considered a legitimate contender for playoff positioning in the Western Conference. So then you go on this sudden blitz. What was it, 20-3 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And you get the separation, and basically the ball game is over. But consistency. Coaches preach it all the time. They preach you've got to value the ball every possession. You don't know when a turnover is going to lead to a mistake that could be the trigger point for your opponent going on a big run. So the Kings were able to do it. They pulled it out of the fire. But I agree with Coach Brown with what you were saying. It wasn't a great performance by any stretch of the imagination, even though they did shoot, I don't know, what, 58%, and they scored 130 points. Crazy.
Coach Brown isn't exactly reinventing the wheel. He's coming to Sacramento with philosophies that the handful of coaches that have been here since Rick Adelman have brought in, wanted to be more engaged defensively, moving the ball, communicating, things like that. But Mike is getting results where other coaches hadn't. Now, there's some asterisks there, caveats like Mike Malone and his circumstance. Dave Yeager got some good results at the beginning of the 2018-2019 season. But why is Mike Brown, you think, getting this success and figuring these out in Sacramento when other coaches haven't been able to?
Well, I think it speaks a lot to, you know, we hear the coaches who have worked with him in the past, including Greg Popovich, who basically helped him immensely in Mike's years in San Antonio. They talk, you know, with great relish and esteem about what Mike Brown is and what he, how he is as a human being and such a great individual. And I think it's a culmination of a lot of different little things. You look back in the offseason and you look to the first time the day after the Warriors win the championship when Mike Brown comes to Sacramento, he talks about soul and needing soul in the organization, all departments pulling in the same direction. He talked about accountability. And, you know, he calls out De'Aaron Fox, who was in the room, and basically said, I've seen what this young man is capable of doing defensively, and we're going to expect that on a regular basis. We know he can score. We know that he can control a game on the offensive end. But if we're going to have success, we need him to be a good defender as well. He goes to Europe to watch different guys play in FIBA ball this summer, World Cup competition, etc. He gets his coaching staff not only buying in, but, you know, Luke Lauk spending virtually the entire summer with De'Aaron Fox, working on an individual basis. You add all of these things together. Sabonis buying in, taking the team over to Napa in the middle of summer for kind of a bonding get-together. And it begins to generate and snowball this energy and this confidence and this belief that we can be good. And I think that's what makes Mike Brown special. We've seen him have success. He's coached great players, be it in Cleveland, be it in LA, be it with Steve Kerr and the Warriors, of course, over the years. And now we're seeing an elevation and a more consistent performance from De'Aaron Fox that we haven't seen in his previous years in his career, from Domantas Sabonis. And then you're getting these spark plug plays that from a Malik Monk, from a Terrence Davis. Kevin Huerter, for goodness sakes, has dazzled us with his basketball IQ and with his ability to do more than just be a terrific perimeter shooter. And let's not overlook what happened. And I think last night, and Mike Brown said, if there was a game ball to give, it would go to Davion Mitchell.
Yes.
What he did, he electrified the arena.
Yes.
The way he was picking up his man at the midcourt line, and he working so hard defensively, and it's infectious and it's contagious, and guys feed off of that. And he, in my mind, and I had a chance to see him afterward in the locker room, and I just said, man, you turned this game around, and I absolutely loved it, what you were doing, how hard you were working. He had the biggest smile on his face in thanking me for that simple comment. But those are the kinds of things, when teams start to make a turn, that all come together and contribute to some success. And it's modest. It's early in a season. But, man, it sure is fun right now. There's no doubt about it.
And building off of what you just said about Malik, I think I asked Davion. I asked Malik about the very same thing, what he thought about Malik's defense or Davion's defense in the third quarter. And Malik was very open. He said, I told Davion that he changed the game for us. Yes. So his teammates recognize it as well. And what I'm noticing is it's Mike Brown and his staff getting different players to buy into their roles top to bottom. I think Trey Lyles has carved himself out an excellent role off the bench. Yep. And has been playing very, very well. And Mike Brown has been open about challenging him to shoot the ball more and not just attack the basket. Chimezie Metu has suddenly become a lob threat and a threat at the rim on a nightly basis and is playing extremely well in his role. Malik Monk, I think, is a sixth man of the year candidate with how he's playing off the bench. And then it goes all the way through the starters as well. I think De'Aaron Fox recognizes that the big part of his role is closing games sometimes, but he doesn't always have to be the scorer in the first, second, and third quarters. Mike Brown said after the game, he challenged Fox to have a big game last right. night, and Fox puts up 28 points and 8 assists on 15 shots, which is incredibly efficient. Like I give Mike Brown and his staff so much credit for how they've been able to go down this line of a roster and give guys roles that I'm not going to pretend they're all happy about. Everybody wants to play 40 minutes a night and be sure. the top dog. But he's gotten them all to buy in, and now he has results to show them that says, see, this is working. That's something that coaches in Sacramento haven't really been able to do in the past.
And it's paying dividends now in terms of recognition around the country. Mm. And the fact that they had that, you know, dominant, almost the perfect storm type of game against Brooklyn on a nationally televised game has certainly helped. But that's what, I mean, you have to have the acknowledgement to get credibility, I think, around the league and around the country, and that's starting to happen. And as we all know, it's a what have you done for me lately kind of a league. That's true in all professional sports, in any sport. And so you've got to take advantage of the opportunities and win the games you're supposed to win, you know, theoretically in paper. Yeah. And I thought it was an interesting point last night. We were talking about how for a couple of quarters, the Kings looked kind of like they're going through the motions, and there were reminiscence of Kings teams in the past. Mm. And then my daughter-in-law had a great point last night. Kim Gerald, Bobby's wife, said, but you know, these are the kind of games in the past that the Kings would lose. And they turned it around. I thought that's a great point because and Detroit will be another opportunity. They're struggling a bit. They're playing teams competitively. You can't take anything for granted. Right. You want to extend this streak because next week on the road, three really tough games, Memphis, Atlanta, back-to-back. Then you got to go to Boston to face the Celtics. So you need that feeling of confidence. And I've said it so many times in the past. You want to be a team that feels like you can go into any building in the NBA and you can be competitive on every night. And I think that's a step that this club is now transitioning toward.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by MasterClass, something that I was gifted for Christmas last year. I'm a fan of poker. I like playing poker as a hobby. Phil Ivey has a poker MasterClass, and I got the opportunity to learn from Phil Ivey and get some of his tips and tricks through MasterClass, which has the experts and prodigies in their line of work that teach you a little bit about their skill set. So whether it's a hobby of yours or something that you're just interested in improving, something that you're genuinely good at that you want to take to a whole new level, MasterClass is an amazing resource for you. Maybe you like cooking. You want to learn from Gordon Ramsay without him yelling at you like it's Hell's Kitchen. Maybe you're into songwriting. You're an artist. And you want to hear from John Legend about he writes songs. There's so many different MasterClasses out there for so many different skills, so many different interests. And there's really nothing like it out there. MasterClass it gives you an ability to be a member and learn from these great people and get expertise and insight that you wouldn't get anywhere else. I highly recommend that you check out MasterClass. This holiday season, they have a great offer for you as part of a partnership with the Locked On Podcast Network. And this is a great gift for you to get a significant other of yours who might have a skill that you think they would love improving and learning from maybe a celebrity they look up to, or maybe you want to learn and you can send your wish list out there and say, hey, I want a MasterClass subscription so I can learn how to write songs like John Legend or cook like Gordon Ramsay. I highly recommend you check out our deal, masterclass.com/lockedon today. That's masterclass.com/lockedon. Annual membership start at $180 per year, and it gets you access to hundreds of video lessons from 180 plus of today's most brilliant minds available anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, desktop, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. Again, that's masterclass.com/lockedon. Terms apply. We've talked about accountability with Mike Brown, and he's publicly held himself accountable and talked about how during that 0-4 start, he was trying to figure out this team, trying to figure out rotations. And now his rotation, regardless of his opponent, is pretty consistent. How big of a deal do you think it is or how big of a factor do you think this consistent rotation and these guys playing the same period of time pretty much in every game, every quarter, is to the consistent success now that we're seeing during this win streak?
Well, I can only look at other teams who've had success. And when you look at teams that have had success in the NBA, it's usually a 9, no more than a 10-man rotation. And I think Mike Brown is, you know, he, as you mentioned, you know, he juggled, he experimented, learning his team, learning components, what units work together best, what situations, substitution patterns, timing, all of those different things now falling into place. I think it's really important. And I like it. You know, you mentioned that, you know, the team has bought in. And sure, everybody does want to play a ton of minutes. But if you're going to have success and you're going to be considered a good basketball team, the reality is That's not going to be the case. And it's probably going to be 9 or 10 guys that get the bulk of the minutes. And then on the nights when you have the luxury of dominance or a blowout situation, then everybody gets to come in and have some fun.
Well, speaking of fun, G, I've had the ability to listen to you calling a decent amount of games so far this season, especially road games. Been listening to you a lot while driving around. And I mean, you always bring a good energy. And what I appreciate about you is you bring a good energy for both sides. Like when you called the Tyler Hero game winner, you call it with enthusiasm, even if it's going against the Kings. It's a big moment in a game, and it's an enjoyable moment from a basketball perspective. But you seem to have this renewed energy, this renewed enjoyment by the way this team is playing. What is it specifically about this team when you're calling the action that has revitalize you almost, or is making you have so much fun?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of different things. It can be as simple as just the extra passes. There was one sequence last night when the Kings got a straightaway three. They went inside around the horn, all five guys touched the ball, boom, knock it down, averaging somewhere around 308 passes a game, which is a number that puts you in the top five in the NBA. It's a number that we used to see on a regular basis from the San Antonio Spurs in their championship days. We saw it with Steve Kerr's Warriors during their championship runs in recent years. Good teams move the basketball. It's infectious. And as a broadcaster, when you see it bearing some fruit, you get excited. And as I've said so many countless times in the recent years, you know, we've just been wandering out there in the desert. And finally, there seems to be an actual oasis in sight. And I see the sparkling water and I see the palm trees and I say, man, it's starting to happen. Now, the realism checks in. You say, well, you still got to be healthy. You still got to, you know, find a way to do this as best you can, as close to 48 minutes in every game. And all of that remains to be seen. But when you won 8 of 10 and the two losses came on controversial non-calls that the league acknowledged, you're doing something right.
Right.
And I'm loving it.
Well, that just speaks to who you are as a broadcaster too, G, because when the ball moves more, that makes your life and your job technically harder because you have more names to say in a quick period of time. But I understand that energy. Well, G, we can't go the whole time without talking specifically, at least for one question, about what De'Aaron Fox is doing. And what I want to ask you is, you've gotten to know De'Aaron over his entire career here in Sacramento. And one of the things I noticed from the Brooklyn game, that big second quarter run happens where the Kings basically put the game away. Terrence Davis mm-hmm. started getting going. The majority of that run, De'Aaron Fox was on the bench. So far in his career, runs like that don't happen unless De'Aaron is the catalyst of it. So in your mind, based off of your knowledge of who De'Aaron is as a player, how much has been on his shoulders so far in his career and the season that he's having, how much do you think he enjoyed and is enjoying when he's out of the game or even when he's in the game, having so many pieces and players around him and different guys on a nightly basis who are stepping up and taking some of that pressure off him while making his job as a leader of a hopefully good team easier?
Well, I think that without question, you know, everybody wants, you want to win. That's the bottom line. And in De'Aaron's years in Sacramento, he hasn't had consistent success. There've been little spurts where we've seen, you know, promise, and then for whatever reason, it seems to dissolve. The acquisition of Sabonis, the comfort zone that Sabonis and Fox seem to have together, as I think the two lead players for this club, are big. I've noticed there's a calmness, there's a confidence, there's a command from De'Aaron Fox that we have not seen on a consistent basis, I don't think, at any time in his career. And I don't know if it's because he doesn't have to shoulder so much of the load and like, I've got to carry this club or it all rests on me in terms of the offense. I don't know how much that contributes to it. I know that, you know, from what he has said, from the tweets that his wife has posted, from what I've heard from Luke Laux in the summer experiences, he has worked so hard during the offseason, and it shows in his game. There's the reliability from the free throw line. Good Lord. You know, we always wondered, why is he, you know, barely a 70% free throw shooter for a guy who handles the ball? And now here he is shooting in, you know, the mid-80s from the free throw line. His three-point shot looks better than it ever has. Hmm. And just his presence on the floor, so many things that are just a step up. And now if you start to win on a regular basis and you start to get more of the national media exposure, that strengthens his case to become an NBA All-Star. And I think we've all felt all along that, yes, he has the capability to play at an All-Star level in the NBA. But we all know, basically, to be an All-Star, you've got to be on a winning team. Well, the Kings are in the process of turning that corner and turning that around. And I think that what De'Aaron is doing this year certainly is worthy of All-Star consideration.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by Bet Online. They're your number one source for all your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. I hope you've been making money off of this Kings win streak. I hope you've been, maybe you're used to making money off of your Kings pessimism. Well, maybe you have to change things around a little bit. The Kings are betting favorites in their game on Sunday against the Detroit Pistons. So whether you want to make money off of another Kings win or avoid betting on the Kings, you can bet on other Kings or rather NBA games around the league. You can bet on football. You can bet on all sorts of fun sports like soccer, esports. They have it all on betonline.net. MMA, golf, UFC, they've got it all. If you love sports podcasts, you can also find those on Bet Online as well. They're the fastest and easiest way for you to get your betting fix in. And it's not just game line bets. They have fun prop bets and side bets, things like that for you to enjoy, especially when we get around Super Bowl time. Tons of fun bets around that. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Well, gee, I could go down the roster and ask you about each player and even go through the coaching staff and ask you about each one, and we'd be here all the way until the Detroit game on Sunday. So I'll wrap up with this. When you look at what the Kings are doing, and reality sets in a little bit, this team still has a long way to go. They have a tough stretch, like you talked about. Win streaks end at some point, and there are going to be bumps in the road. And Mike has been very open about during this win streak, hey, at some points, we're going to take steps back. Other points, we're going to take steps forward. Hopefully, the steps forward are more than the ones backwards. But what do you think, and this might be an impossible question because there might be multiple, but when you're thinking ahead and projecting to, okay, this is an area where I think Sacramento is still going to have to grow a lot, or this is going to be a struggle for them. Like an example would be closing close games on the road against playoff teams or something like that. Where do you think is an area for growth or an area that this team is still going to be heavily tested in the near future?
I love what Mike Brown, you know, he frequently talks about trending up, and yes, there are going to be glitches. There are going to be bumps in the road. There will be times when you really have to question yourself and dig deeper than you have in the past to get that good product on the floor. But I love seeing this team starting to believe in itself. I love the vibe that comes from every member of the coaching staff. It's always positive. It's always about hard work. It's always about accountability. And those things are trending up. So don't look too far ahead. Look at one game. And it's the old cliche, one game at a time. Put the best effort that you can for as close to 48 minutes as you can on the floor, and the wins will take care of themselves. I really believe that. I hear Mike Brown talk about that extensively at various times, and I'm a total buy-in. Mm-hmm. You know, and he frequently says it's all in, and that seems to be the theme for this Kings club. And again, we're enjoying the ride, and it's revitalized, I think, even old broadcasters like myself. And I look forward to, you know, these games, and you look forward to getting to the arena, and you say, well, I wonder what tonight's adventure is going to bring to us.
Well, I've seen G-Man in Kings practice before, and I could see him itching to get off the bench and run sprints with the team with how much he's been motivated by what Coach Brown and his staff are doing. Gee, we all in Sacramento deserve a good season. We all deserve to have a little fun watching our basketball team, but I don't think there's anybody in Sacramento who deserves you. Well, you and your entire broadcast team with Jason and Deuce, and y'all deserve to call and enjoy a winning basketball team and cover a winning basketball team. So I hope that continues for you. It's a pleasure to have you here on Locked On Kings again, my friend. Thank you so much for doing it. And hopefully we'll be doing it later in the season, preparing for maybe some postseason basketball. You never know.
Well, that would be fun. And that's, that of course is, you know, that's the target. So let's keep trending up.
I love having G-Man on the show. I hope you do too. And if you want to respond to anything that G and I talked about, please do so. You can reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack. You can email me MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. Leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. And I hope you cherish G-Man, how great he's been for so many years here in Sacramento. He really, truly, just like Jerry Reynolds, who I talked to earlier this week, the two of them deserve to watch Kings playoff basketball. But I cannot wait to hear Gary Gerald calling a Kings playoff basketball game on the radio. He has earned that and then some. It's been far too long since he's been able to do that. He is a master at his craft. It's a real treat to just to be able to learn from him and hear from him, let alone have him on the podcast. So thank you, G, for joining me. Thank you to you for listening. Appreciate your support. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Just so you know, we're slowing things down a little bit on Locked On Kings. That's because my family and I are going on a little vacation. Yeah, I'm not going to be at the Kings game against the Pistons on Sunday. I'm going to miss the triumphant return of Marvin Bagley. That's the day that my family and I leave for vacation. We're going to Disneyland, taking my son, who's 15 months old, to Disneyland. Really, we're using him and him being having free entry as an excuse for my wife and I to go to Disneyland. Don't worry, we're bringing our in-laws too, so that when he gets tired, we can give him the in-laws, and then we can go have fun and ride the rides. But we're going to be out, so I'm going to miss that Detroit Pistons game. I'm also going to miss the Memphis Grizzlies and Atlanta Hawks games, the first two games of the road trip. I'll be back after Thanksgiving for a post-game pod of the Kings Celtics game on Black Friday, so you can expect a podcast for that. I'm going to do my best during the trip to pay attention to Kings basketball as much as I can, maybe record like a small little podcast thing or check in or something on my phone, because I have a hard time going almost a week when the Kings are playing really well and it's midseason without posting anything and without talking to you guys and providing the content that I know you enjoy and that you deserve. So I'll do my best to do what I can. This was the only time really our family could get out for vacation, so we're going to try and squeeze it in. I appreciate I apologize for any inconveniences. I appreciate your understanding of that. Again, I'll do my best to get whatever content I can out during that time. But thank you for your support this week. Thank you for your support all the time. It means the world to me. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode of Locked On Kings, whenever that might be. Until then, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.